This podcast is free and it's accessible to everyone thanks to support from listeners like you. If you value this show, please consider supporting its production by donating to our home, KUOW. It only takes a minute to give, and you'll be helping to support the production of this podcast. Make a donation at kuow.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thanks.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Boeing made a big announcement today, major changes at the top of its leadership team. And if you've been paying attention to the news at all, you probably guessed this had to be coming. Here are the shifts so far. CEO David Calhoun is resigning and will be leaving at the end of the year. The head of Boeing Commercial Airplanes, Stan Deal, is out immediately. Chief Operating Officer Stephanie Pope will take over that division. And the board of directors will also have a new chair. Steve Mollenkopf takes over from Larry Kellner, who said he will not be running for re-election. This, of course, comes after Boeing has come under considerable scrutiny after a door plug blew off a 737 MAX 9 plane in January, and an FAA audit found dozens of irregularities on the MAX production line in Renton and at a contractor, Spirit AeroSystems. For more on what this movement in the C-suite means for the troubled aerospace giant, we turn to Scott Hamilton, an aviation industry consultant with Leham Company and the author of Air Wars, the global combat between Airbus and Boeing. Hi, Scott. Thanks for being here.
Good day. Thank you for having me.
So I'd like to start with your reaction to this shakeup at the top of Boeing. What does this big picture tell you about how the company is weathering concerns over quality and safety?
We and many others believe that a shakeup was coming. It was just a matter of when, not if. The shakeup today is, I think, a response to just the growing pressure on Boeing across a wide variety of stakeholders. You had, of course, customers who were unhappy that their airplanes are being delayed and that quality has been poor on some of these airplanes. You have the Federal Aviation Administration that, after the January 5th door blowout on Alaska Airlines, the FAA has done the safety audit. They've clamped down on the number of airplanes that Boeing can produce on the 737 line every month. You've had huge media criticism. Not that Boeing cares about that necessarily. But then you had the shareholders and the investors that were finally getting involved. So a lot of pressure going on for changes. And this is, I think, the first of changes yet to come.
I just want to quote from Dave Calhoun's letter to employees on his departure at the end of the year. He said, "It has been the greatest privilege of my life to serve Boeing. The eyes of the world are on us, and I know that we will come through this moment a better company. We will remain squarely focused on completing the work we have done together to return our company to stability after the extraordinary challenges of the past 5 years, with safety and quality at the forefront of everything that we do." Scott, Calhoun was a longtime General Electric executive. You know, there's been a lot of ink spilled about the culture at Boeing and its shift after the 1997 purchase of McDonnell Douglas. The subsequent leadership at Boeing followed what many have called a Jack Welchian style of free cash flow and squeezing as much profit as possible from the business. Does this move to find a new CEO signal anything about how Boeing is reassessing its focus on stock price and profit versus engineering and quality controls?
That remains to be seen. You still have some GE influence on the board of directors. Calhoun is still a board member. You have David Joyce, who was CEO of GE Aerospace, the engine side of the business. He's on the board, but he also understands the need for safety and so on. The entire board over the years, and this is predominantly preceding boards because it's about 50% new members in the last 3 years, the board has always bought into this thing about shareholder value, return 100% of free cash flow to shareholders, buy back stock, pay dividends. And that's all well and good, but there has to be a balance between that and running the company, so to speak. And Calhoun has been a part of that since 2009. He was on the board in 2009. Where they go from here, it depends on who they bring in. So I'm not at all ready to say that this is indeed going to represent a major shift in the direction of the company.
Who out there has the kind of experience to take over this huge manufacturing workforce and really turn it around in a way on the quality and safety issues that it's been facing in recent years. I mean, this in many ways is a company in crisis. I mean, how big is the pool of candidates to look out there for a new CEO for Boeing?
Well, it's not that big, to be sure. You know, somebody from a company like Lockheed Martin or Northrop Grumman, who have big aerospace divisions, but they also have, in Northrop's case, they have shipbuilding. And in Lockheed's case, they not only have aerospace, they have space and a whole bunch of other business sides. So somebody from Lockheed or Northrop would be the kind of person that I would look for. You could bring in a non-aerospace executive from some company that requires a lot of engineering, but I think you need an aerospace engineer type individual who knows production, knows aerospace production, knows the supply chain issues. Somebody who can come in, not necessarily with their feet running the minute they hit the ground, because they still have to learn the Boeing system.
Yeah.
But I think you don't want to go outside the industry.
Let's talk about Stephanie Pope for a moment. She's the chief operating officer, but is moving now to be the head of commercial airplanes. She had been sort of talked about as a potential successor to Calhoun in the years to come. Who is Stephanie Pope, and why is she now going to be heading commercial airplanes in this critical moment?
I don't know Stephanie Pope. I've only met her once at a CEO Boeing event. What I'm told is I think she's been with Boeing for like 38 years, something like that. But she's principally a finance person. She's an MBA. She's not been a hands-on person. She's not managed a program as far as I know. And I got to tell you that when she was named executive vice president and chief operating officer of the Boeing company at the corporate level, a lot of people that I talked to said, who is she and why did she get that job? And the news today was not 10 minutes old when my inbox started filling up with, she's the wrong person for the job. What are her qualifications? But I don't know her.
Boeing earlier this month began contract talks with its machinists union. How important are these discussions, Scott, and how will they impact the future at Boeing?
The machinists union has been complaining for years about safety concerns in the production line and how their complaints would often, at least in their view, fall on deaf ears. And I do know that John Holden, who's the president of the local IAM 751 district, wants to build into the contract issues related to safety. And the IAM also wants a seat on the Boeing board, which is something that we suggested back in 2020 when Calhoun took office. So the discussions are going to be critical, quite frankly. One of the issues that the IAM has to deal with is that because of the 21-month grounding of the MAX and the COVID pandemic for 2 years, they lost a lot of their institutional knowledge to retirements and that sort of thing. So they have a lot of new people on board who don't have the learning curve or the experience of efficiently doing an assembly line. That's got to be addressed in some fashion as well.
Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun had said after the MAX 9 panel blowout in January that he was really encouraging people on the line to use their voice, speak up when they see some quality issue, and slow things down if safety and quality are at issue here. Is there any indication that that's actually happening, that the line can be slowed and that people speaking up, the workers on the line in Renton, are actually being heard since this all has gone down?
Well, I'll answer that two ways. Number one, with the FAA having a lot of people in Renton, I think there's more opportunity for the line workers to go to the FAA if they're not satisfied with responses from their direct managers. The production of the 737, even though it's authorized to go to 38 a month, is probably down to under 20 a month right now, or the low 20s. And that's a reflection of trying to fix the supply chain, get Spirit AeroSystems in line, who provides the fuselages. But we've heard this song before. After the 2018-19 Max crashes that killed 346 people, Calhoun came in and was named CEO in December of 2019, took office the next month. And we had all this stuff about safety committees, and we're going to fix safety this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to encourage employees to talk, and they shouldn't be afraid of talking, and yet they still are. And that was 4 years ago. Now, what the hell happened in the meantime?
Scott Hamilton is an aviation industry consultant with Lehem Company. Scott, before we go, what are you watching for as these investigations into the door panel blowout continue, both from regulators, the FAA, the NTSB, and now the Justice Department reportedly looking into this as a potential criminal matter? What are you watching as this all unfolds?
Well, the National Transportation Safety Board, which is investigating the accident, and the FAA is kind of following along with that, they already know what happened. They don't know why it happened. They don't know who was involved in the repair of this door plug. Boeing says it has no records of that, which in itself is alarming. Everything that you do on an airplane is supposed to have a record attached to it. So the ultimate outcome of the investigation, that could take as much as a year or 18 months from the January 5th date. So it's really too early to see or predict what the NTSB will come up with. Now, the FAA has told Boeing that it had 90 days from the end of February to come up with an actionable plan to address these issues. So we're still waiting to see what Boeing comes up with and if the FAA accepts it or sends them back to rethink a few elements. As far as the Department of Justice, I can tell you absolutely there are grand jury investigations underway. They were criminal investigations. They are criminal investigations. I can't tell you, because I don't know what the specific thrust of the criminal investigation is, but either the DOJ will decide that there is a reason to move forward with a criminal action, or it will decide it's not. And we may never know the details of if they decide not to go forward. And if they do go forward, then eventually details will come out in court filings.
What to you would signal a true sea change at Boeing? I mean, as the search for a new CEO goes forward, as these shufflings at the top in the leadership shake out, what would actually mean to you, Scott Hamilton, that there is a serious change in how Boeing views its line and the quality and safety on the line?
It depends on who comes in to replace Calhoun, and then to see what he or she does with the executives over Boeing Commercial. I am not at all sold on Stephanie Pope. I just think that her background is not conducive to dealing with the current crisis. I do think that it would be highly symbolic, as well as hopefully not just window dressing, to bring the corporate headquarters back to Seattle. Boeing Commercial Airplanes is still the largest operating division of the Boeing company. I understand the reasoning for putting it in Arlington, Virginia. It's just down the road from the Pentagon. It's just down the road from Capitol Hill. You know, a lot of reasons to do that, but this is where they make the money. This is where they make the airplanes. And I do think that having the corporate executive C-suites on the other side of the country is not a good thing.
Scott Hamilton is an aviation industry consultant with Lehem Company, based in Bainbridge, and author of Air Wars, The Global Combat Between Airbus and Boeing. Scott, thanks very much for your insight here.
You're welcome.
And on the subject of Boeing, KUOW labor and economy reporter Monica Nicholsberg has a question for you. Are you a current or former Boeing employee in the Seattle area? Would you be willing to share your perspective on the latest leadership shakeup? If that answer is yes, email Monica. Her email address is monica@kuow.org. That's Monica with a C. And you're listening to Soundside on KUOW. And hey, this show is only possible because listeners support us. If you are able to give right now, check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.